have something I feel the Lord will bless today. I'd like to share with you. I'm going to say at the start, I know it's an afternoon service, and I know we get tired. You can take a nap if you want to. I have something for you need today. It's impossible for us in the flesh to be strong all the time. Sometimes we have some pretty good strength. Sometimes we can carry through some hard tasks. But it's impossible for us to be strong all the time. And we need strength somewhere else, from somewhere else. We need it from the Lord. I'd like for us to turn in the Word to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Very familiar probably to us. Paul said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We all probably have our definition of grace. Just simply put, it's the unmerited favor of God. Yes. Nothing that we have done that we deserve, but God is, in His mercy, has extended grace to you and I today. Yes. We're living in the day of grace in this gospel dispensation. And Paul was exhorting Timothy here, be strong. That's in the grace of Christ. Amen. You know, everything we need, as we mentioned this morning, it's found in Christ. Yes. And we can be strong in Christ's grace. He has the grace to help us in all of our trials, all of our tests, mm-hmm. all the needs that we have. Mm-hmm. We put in requests. We come to services and you hear requests of all types. Yes. Requests for all different kinds of needs. But God has grace for every one of those needs, folks. His grace is sufficient, as the Word of God says. He went on to say, "And the things that thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who also shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, the enduring part is the hard thing, isn't it? It's easy when things are going just the way that you want them to go. But when the hard things come along and we have to endure, that's the difficult time. That's the time when the enemy comes along and he's bringing his discouraging thoughts. And we've all had thoughts, no doubt, well, what's the use? Why don't we just sit down, stay home, and just forget about it? And that's what the enemy would like for us to do. But Paul tells us to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. We all want to go to heaven. And we all want to get there, folks. And in order to do that, we're going to have to trust in the Lord. We're going to have to commit ourselves wholly and fully unto the Lord. Be good soldiers. And you know, when we first get saved, we that doesn't mean we know how to fight. It doesn't mean we know how to do warfare. But he said here that endure hardness as a good soldier. We must learn how to fight. We must learn how to deal with tribulations. We must learn how to deal with disappointments. We must learn how to deal with the things that don't that cut across our grain. The things that cut across our will. The things that cut across our life. We've got to learn how to deal with those things. And we've got to endure some things. You know, sometimes it's just not what we want it to be, but we've got to endure that. We've got to stay right in the battle. We've got to stay right in the fight. And we've got to see this thing through, folks. The devil is coming against his people so hard today in mass force. He's coming against us. And we're going to have to endure some things. We're going to have to endure the fact that our children are not being saved like we want to see them saved. We're going to have to endure the fact that the people are not coming to services like we would like to see them come. Don't let those things discourage us today. Just be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus today. He will see us through, folks. There is victory, and we're on the winning side with Jesus today. And just stay on the side of Jesus. He said, "No man at war entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So let's not entangle ourselves. Get all caught up with the cares of life. Get all busy with all the busy things. But let us be strong in God's grace today. Oh, I want to tell you something. There's a scripture that I'd like to read to you real quick over here in John. He said in John, 1st chapter of John, "And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." You know, do you realize that as we go through this Christian walk with the Lord, we go from grace to grace. God begins to give us grace for the little things. Now, I want to ask you, everyone here today, do we all have all the patience that we need? We have all the patience that we want? We're able to endure everything that comes our way, and we smile, and we're happy, and it just doesn't bother us one bit. Patience is pretty difficult to overcome. Patience is something we need grace for. We need a lot of grace for patience. And you're looking at one up here today that God has really had to do a lot of work with in the line of patience. I want to, do any of us have any weaknesses? Little things that bother us? Little things that trouble us? Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you about one of my little problems that I have with patience. Traffic lights. I don't like traffic lights. And I don't know how else to do it, but I can't convince myself in my own mind that that's really a good way to do things. Because my wife is a witness. It seems that it's not even a 50-50 chance for me. When I'm traveling somewhere, it seems like that I don't even get 50% of them green. I get them red. I told her one time, I told her several times, I said, "Do you know what's going to happen? I spend such a large part of my life sitting at red lights, and when I die, they're going to go through every one of those just to put me in the grave. They'll run through every one of those red lights." Patience. We live out in the country. They come down this country road, and there's a traffic light out in the country. They put that up a couple of years ago. I never did understand why they did put a traffic light out there in the country. But you know what? I'm driving down that road, and I can look, and I can see it for 2 miles away. And I think, that thing is red now. Uh-huh. And as I drive along, it turns green. And I know when I get there, it's going to be red. I can tell it when I get there that it's going to be red. I can see it from a mile away, and it's going to be just at the right time, and I'm going to have to stop, sitting out there in the country, not a car in sight anywhere else. Out here on a lone country road, and that light's red. Jesus said one time, "Occupy until I come." Yes. I've had to learn, and I'm still trying to learn this, that when those red lights stop me, Lord, help me to say a prayer. Help me to pray for someone. There's a lot of needs. There's a lot of requests. There's a lot of sick. There's a lot of lost that we need to pray for. Lord, when those traffic lights stop me, help me to learn how to pray. Oh, I tell you, folks, I don't know why it is, but it is. It really grates on me. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. I need grace for that. I admit that. Traffic lights, when I'm driving, is a very difficult thing for me to deal with. I don't mind to get one or two of them when I'm traveling through that little town, but it seems like I get them all, seems like. And I know that's not true, but you know how it is when things don't go the way you want them to go? You know how it is when little things bother you? We need grace for that. Because I want to be an example at that time, just as I do whenever things come along that I don't have a problem with. The things that I have a problem with, you don't probably have a problem with. But the things that you have a problem with probably don't bother me a bit. We need grace. The unmerited favor of God. He said, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm glad Jesus brought grace. We need grace. Now, I want to tell you about a young sister that I knew. Her name was Edith Flynn from Louisiana. When she was in her early teens and late teens, teens, she struggled with her spiritual life. Struggled quite a bit. Had a real hard time getting settled and getting rooted and getting established in the Lord, and up and down experience and all those kinds of things. One time that when we were coming to service and I saw her outside the chapel, and I said, "Edith," I said, "how are you doing?" She said, "Well, I'm still trying." And I said, "Why don't you quit trying? And why don't you let the Lord take care of you? Why don't you quit trying? You know, the Scripture says, Paul said, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." He is able to keep it, folks. Those things that trouble us, those things that try us, those things that get us down, those things that disappoint us, commit them unto the Lord. He'll keep that for you. And oh, I tell you, I like this little thought. Oh, there's been things, and now the old traffic light, see? I commit that unto the Lord, and the old enemy comes along, and he wants to deal with me of that again. And now I can say, no, if you want to deal with that, you go see him, because I've given that to the Lord. You know, the enemy, he just has to flee. He just has to leave the scene. You committed it unto the Lord. And so I was dealing and talking with Edith. She was very close to our family and our daughters. You know, there came a time Edith got very sick. She had developed sugar, and she got very sick. Edith made a stand. She made a stand. She told her family, her mother and her father. She was, 21 or 22? She made a stand for the Lord. She got a hold of something. She got a hold of the grace of God, folks. She got a hold of God, and she got a hold of His grace and His love and what He really meant to her to live for Him. And she said, whether I live or whether I die, I'm going to trust the Lord for my body. I want to tell you, the Lord took her. He took her on home to glory. But I want to say today, she left a testimony that still rings in the hearts of those that knew her. She became established in the grace of God, and God gave her the grace to go through that battle. He gave her the grace to stand right in the middle of affliction with a smile on her face, with sunshine in her heart, never murmured, never complained, and went on out to meet the Lord with victory in her soul. See, God, we need God to give us grace for the little things. But oh, there comes a time when we need grace for the big things. Grace for grace. We go from grace to grace, folks. The unmerited favor of our almighty blessed God that will give us the grace that we need at the time we need it. Sometimes we think, well, Lord, we need it now. Where are you? His time is always right. He's right on time. It's there when you need it, folks. Sometimes He wants us to wait on Him. Oh, Lord, give us grace. Waiting is a hard thing. It takes a lot of grace to wait. When I say grace to wait, I'm talking about keeping the heart right. Keeping the attitude right. Not doing things and saying things you're going to have to apologize to God for. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have doubted you. We need a lot of grace to wait on the Lord. But He said, they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles, didn't He? Run and not be weary, they shall walk and never faint. You know, there's blessings in trusting the Lord. Blessings in settling in your heart, purposing in your heart that you're going to go all the way with the Lord, whether you live or whether you die. That's what I'm in this thing for. I don't want to turn around if I come to a hard place where it looks like that I might not make it. I don't want to turn around then. I need Him then more than ever before. Some people, they come to a hard place, and the devil takes advantage of them somehow, and they turn away from the Lord right when they need Him the most. Folks, His grace is sufficient for those hard times that you face in your personal life, in your personal walk with the Lord. His grace is sufficient for those times. I want to turn over to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. I love this chapter. Ephesians 3 and 14, Paul was praying a prayer for the church in Ephesus. And he said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Oh, folks, that's my desire, to be strengthened by His might in this inner man. That's what happened to Edith. She got strengthened in the inner man. And it came from Jesus. That's the only place that it came from. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. All these elements here, you and I need them. Faith and love. We need those in our hearts. We need them in our lives, folks. We need to focus on those things at the difficult times when the hardness comes in. Endure hardness as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. Our faith must be strong. We need our faith inspired today to trust God and say, Lord, we've got it committed unto You. I committed it unto You, and I'm going to stand with You no matter what happens. You know, how many times have you seen someone come down with an affliction and come right to the point where it looks like the Lord may take them? And they make that consecration. They come down to the place where they say, Lord, we've asked You to heal. I've asked You to heal me. And it looks like You're not going to do it. But Lord, I want to tell You something. I'm going to trust You with this thing. I'm going to trust You fully. I'm going to leave myself right in Your hands. How many times have you seen God come on the scene and raise those people up? Many, many, many times. It takes you and I surrendering to God, surrendering to His grace, surrendering to His mercy, putting ourselves in His hands that He can show us His glory. That He can show us His power. He's in charge of our lives, folks. No man can take your life and no man can keep you here. If God wants you, no man can keep you here. We're in His hands. Life and breath is in His hands. Oh, thankful today that we have a God that we can trust. We can put everything in. Holy, completely, just dump it right in His lap, folks. He'll take it. And He'll care for you. I love that song in the book says, no matter what happens, that includes everything. No matter what happens, He will care for me. Oh, I believe that this afternoon. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, I've read that. Yes. To be filled with God is quite a thing. To be filled with all of God. To be filled with all of His fullness. Do you know what that means? That means that when we're filled with God, we have all His attributes working in us. We have Him in us, see? When we're filled with Him, we now have the power of God in our life. We now have the knowledge of God. We now have the presence of God in us, see? When we're filled with God, we now have His truth. We now have His revelations revealed to us. That's all the fullness of God. The Holy Spirit has said it reveals the deep things of God, doesn't it? That we have the revelations of God. We have the Spirit of God in us. Oh, isn't that wonderful? God would do that to little old us. God will do that. He wants to do that. If we can get a hold of it. If we can come to grips with what God has for you and I, is when we begin to take self out of the way, we begin to get our will out of the way, the grace of God will come. The grace of God will guide us. We have the guidance of God when we have His fullness. He will be in us and He will guide us. And He will take us where He wants us to be. And we will just be compliable and compliant to Him and allow Him to use us and just do with us whatever He wants us to do. Can you trust Him like that today? Paul said that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That overwhelms me. That really overwhelms me. I still can't take in that whole picture. God. Folks, when I think of who God is, the essence of life. He is the God. He said, I inhabit eternity. He said, I'm Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. He, He's the beginning and the end of all things. He has all knowledge, all wisdom, all understanding, all power. And we can be filled with that. My. That overwhelms my little mind that I have. Paul prayed that prayer here. I've read it. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then after he said that we could be filled with the fullness, now unto him. Oh, I'm going to finish my prayer now. Now, God, unto you that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. I imagine if I went through this little group here this afternoon, I could get a lot of imaginations. I could get a lot of thoughts of what we would want to ask God. Go out in the world and see what they'd ask for. But we're talking about our spiritual souls this afternoon. Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. Does your mind encompass that? And sometimes we have our little problems. I have my little headache there for a couple of days. When we come out here, I know God can heal it. Yeah. I'm looking for Him to heal it. I don't believe God sent me out here to suffer with a headache all week. Yeah. And I expected God to heal it. And He gave me my expectations. Oh, the grace of God. It's a wonderful thing. That song says, amazing grace. It is truly amazing. To have the glory of God in us, to be filled with all of God, is to have God. Just plain and simple. To have God that helps us to live soberly, righteous, and godly. Right here in this present world. There's nothing that I can think of any more important in life than to have the glory of God. Down in my heart. Down in my soul. But what kind of trouble are you in when the glory leaves you, folks? Whenever we grieve the Spirit. Whenever we back up on the Lord. Whenever we fail to trust Him. Whenever we draw back from Him. And we lose the glory of God. Then we get in trouble, don't we? You can't pray like you want to. Can't get a hold of God like you want to. You can call out for Him, but you won't feel His presence. Like you want to feel His presence. Oh, I want to be filled with all the glory of God. To be filled with His attributes. Yes. To be filled with His divine glory and power that He has for us. Amen. Paul prayed this prayer, and I believe that it's available. But it comes through the grace of God. It comes through our learning and our understanding from God. Now I want to turn it over, if you will, if you want to go turn over with me to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I want to say right here that God does not give His grace to those that desire it for selfish reasons, for a selfish purpose. If we're crying out or calling out for God to bestow favor upon us, and we have a selfish purpose in that, if self there wants to be exalted, lifted up, satisfied, pleased in some way, God will not send or give His grace to that kind of a calling heart. He said here, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Folks, what God has given us today is salvation. Given us salvation freely. Given it to us. He's given it freely today. And folks, you and I are to go out and let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. And He'll give you grace to glorify His name. He'll give you grace to do that. You know, I brought that little thought out one time, and at home, and my brother came to me, and he's lost his kidneys, and he says, I got to ask you a question. He just got saved in December, and he's 61 years old, and he said, I got to ask you something. He said, you said that God won't give grace to someone that's asking for something in a selfish way. He said, you know, I've been asking the Lord that He'd give me one of my kidneys back. And I said, I explained to him, I said, that's not a selfish thing. He said, I want to get better so I can go to meetings with you. I want to be able to do things for the Lord. That's not selfish to ask the Lord to heal your body, folks. I'm talking about asking God for things that you can go out and it will profit you and not be a blessing to anyone else. God wants you and I to be a blessing one to another. He said here, and that's what it says here there. Even so, minister the same one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Oh, the grace of God is a wonderful thing. And then it says right over here in the fifth chapter, God resisteth the proud. And who does He give grace to? Oh, Lord, help us to stay humble. First, we got to get there. Then we got to stay there.
Yes, Lord.
You ever heard someone say, I'm humble. You just ask me and I'll tell you I'm humble. Do you know that humility is the one virtue that you have only as long as you don't realize you have it? That's right. You only have humility as long as you don't realize you have it. You go up right here. Brother Bader, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but we've called him and his brother Austin the humble brothers for years. Humble brothers. You go up there and say something to him about how humble he is. And he'll practically deny it. Humility is something you have only as long as you don't realize you've got it. That Christ, look at our Lord and Savior. Humble, lowly, meek Lamb of God. Went around to the poor. Went around to the sick. Went around to the rich. Went around in all different places. He didn't change. He just kept his low, humble way. Giving them the word, healing the sick, comforting them, blessing them with his life and what God had given him to do while he was here on this earth. God resisteth the proud. Well, we know that the Bible tells us over there in Proverbs that he hated the proud look. God doesn't like pride. He doesn't like it at all. We want to ask anything that will lift us up on ourselves, folks. We can't get that from God. Doesn't the Scripture say one time, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss to consume it up on your own lust? So Lord, help us here today. We all want the grace of God. We all need the grace of God. Let's be careful and let's be sure what we're asking for when we ask for the grace of God. Because that's something that he doesn't just mete out carelessly. But he's got it for his people. He's got it for you and I. If our purpose and desire is to make heaven, folks, he'll give you the grace to do it. He wants you to get there more than you do, probably. He will do everything that he can to get us to heaven. I'm convinced of that. So we need to humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Just humble down. Submitting. Yielding. We're living in a time when people are not willing to yield. They're not willing to yield. They're not willing to yield their will, their ways, their desires. They're not willing to do that. But oh, that's the only way we're going to get humility. That's the only way that grace is going to come, is yielding completely over into the hands of God. Now I want to turn, I don't intend to be up here real long this afternoon, I want to turn over to 2 Corinthians, to a very familiar text. Second Corinthians 12, and 7, Paul. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Folks, God knows how to keep us humble. Now, Paul had a lot of revelations. A lot of things had been revealed to him. God had used him very mightily in the work of the Lord. He'd went many different places and established churches, and he worked with a lot of people, and God used him and blessed him in a mighty way. Folks, Paul was just a man like you and I, see.
Amen.
And God knows that the flesh, if it's not kept under, it will be exalted. It'll get itself puffed up. Look what I did. Look how things prospered over there. I was over there. I went over there and I preached to those folks and I taught those folks. Look what I did. Oh, it's out there. I believe Sister Mary one time brought us a little message on the kingdom. The kingdom of I. Me. Mine. Myself. It's a big kingdom. People like to talk about I and me. But he said here, lest I should be exalted. See, Paul understood. He knew what it was about. The Lord revealed it to him.
Yeah.
Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given unto me, the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Say, well, a messenger of Satan. You remember the little conversation that God and Satan had with Job? They had a conversation about Job. Do you ever think about God and Satan having a conversation about you? And God saying, well, there's my servant. What about him? You know, sometimes, some days, it seems like things go so far wrong, it seems like God had that conversation, didn't it? Oh, Lord, give us grace. He had that little conversation. Let me ask you this question. Would God have a reason to say, consider my servant, you, whoever you might be? Would he have a reason to do that? Would he have a purpose to do that? Could he trust you to stay true and faithful? I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but he had a conversation here. There was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. A thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it is, what it was. Now, I've heard all kinds of speculations. All kinds of speculations. But it was given to him and was permitted to come to him by God. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Whenever we have a question in our minds, something that we want to seek the Lord about, we have a right to ask God. Something that is affecting us, we have a right to go to the Lord and ask Him about it. Now, you may not like the answer that you're going to get, but you will get an answer. If you importune, and if you seek Him, sometimes knocking, but He shall be found, and you will get an answer. The Lord will get an answer. You think this is the answer Paul wanted? They sought him three times. I think Paul wanted rid of the thorn. But God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength. See, God wants His strength seen in you and I. I said at the very beginning of this little thought message this afternoon, do you feel strong all the time? Do you feel like being strong all the time? No, we don't. These bodies get tired. Our flesh gets weak. We have aches and pains. Someone said to me yesterday or this morning that I was too young for that. But folks, I've had aches and pains for years. I'm quite familiar with arthritis. A few of those otheritis fellas, I'm familiar with them. But His grace is sufficient. God is permitting it to see how you and I hold up under His grace. Now right here, I want to tell you, I've got a story I want to tell you. This year has been a very special year for me. In February, first of all, you folks, some of you people I know knew Brother Jimmy McDonald. And he was a black brother from Knoxville, Tennessee. He'd been sick for some time with sugar and kidney failure. A year ago last June, he was still having the same battle Edith had. Wanting to trust the Lord, but yet going to the doctor once in a while and having things checked out. Last June of last year, he went to two camp meetings. And after he left the second camp meeting, he made the commitment.
Praise the Lord.
He made it. He put himself into the hands of his Maker. He told his wife, "I'm never going back to the doctor again. I'm going to trust the Lord, live or die." I didn't know this at the time. But in February, the Lord, I had gotten very close to Sister Mary and Brother Jimmy from that time. And the Lord impressed me in February to go down and spend some time with him. It was the Lord that impressed me to do that. He was in a battle, folks. His body was filled up with fluid. I went down there, and he showed me his body, and I was amazed. I never believed that a body could take on that much fluid without bursting. I've never seen such proportions in my life. And he said to me, "Brother Larry," he said, "I asked my wife, am I going to have to go through this alone?" I said, "No, Brother Jimmy, you're not going to go through this alone." I just stayed right there for a few days. Prayed with him. Talked with him. We had sweet fellowship together. Took care of him. One day I helped him into the bathroom. Went back into the living room. And a little while later I heard a holler. And he had fallen on the floor. Couldn't get up. Swollen too bad. Went in. Helped him up. But you know, I want to tell you something about Brother Jimmy, folks. When you make a decision that you're going to trust the Lord, and there's some here today that knows all about this. When you make a decision in your life, at whatever time that it may be in your life, that you're going to trust the Lord, live or die, let me tell you, it's got to come right from the very depths of your soul. It can't just come from the mouth. Because at nighttime, when those pains come and it's dark out there and the enemy is coming in like a flood, you better have it settled that you're going to trust God all the way. I was in that man's home and I heard him cry out, I don't know how many times, when the pain would strike him and he would cry out, "Thank you, God, for the pain." Never heard anything like that in my life. In the middle of the night, "Thank you, God, for the pain." All that man did, folks, was praise God. He had gotten a hold of a message that was preached there not too far back about praising the Lord in all things. And he praised the Lord. He told me one time, he said, "I'm thanking the Lord that he has chosen me for this affliction." And you know what? I thought at first, well, he can't mean all this. This is not real. Man cannot do that, folks. That was the grace of God. Jimmy got a hold of something. Oh, right in the pain. "Thank you, Lord, for the pain." Not one time did I hear him murmur. Not one time did I hear him complain. Ask his wife to bring him a drink of water, and it might be too full, it might have been too empty, too cold, or too warm. And she'd ask him, "How it was?" He said, "It's fine. It's fine. It's just fine. Whatever food she wanted to bring, it's fine. That's fine." Totally given over to the Lord. Oh, you know, this scripture became real to me. "My grace is sufficient for thee." Oh, this brother suffered. I stayed there a few days, and I said, "Brother, I've got to go home. I've got to take care of the congregation over the weekend." But I said, "They won't take up the blacktop. I'll be back, Lord willing." And I did go back several times. We got very close. We bonded real close. One day he said, "Brother Larry," he said, "would you preach my funeral?" I said, "Brother Jimmy, I'd be honored if that's what your desire is." I asked him one day, I said, "Brother Jimmy, do you want to go to heaven?" He said, "I sure do want to go to heaven." And I said, "Well, you know, everybody wants to go there, but nobody wants to die to get there. It's hard to die. It's hard to die to self. It's hard to die to the flesh." And folks, this grace that I've been talking to you about, from the traffic light right down to the time of your death, we need the grace of God. The little things that we need grace for, they are the build-up to the time when you're going to have to face that grim monster, the last enemy to be conquered. But His grace is sufficient. When I looked upon Brother Jimmy, this scripture here said, Paul here, when the Lord told him that, he said, "Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities." I thought, this man is unreal. I've never been around anyone like this before. But folks, it was God. It could have only been God. A year ago, Brother Jimmy didn't have that. And I thought, truly, God's grace is amazing. It is amazing what He can supply for you and I. It's amazing what He can supply in our time of need when we have committed unto Him, which is able to keep that against that day. Oh, Brother Jimmy was so precious. We visited him many times. One time he said, "Brother Larry," he said, I have a fear of dying in the nighttime. But you know what? He said, "I've been praying, I've been talking to the Lord, and the Lord gave me that scripture, perfect love casteth out fear." Brother Jimmy got through that. God gave him grace for that. He died in the nighttime. But God had given him grace. He'd already got the victory over that thing. He used to call me numerous times. He called me numerous times at home. And he'd ask me some of the most thought-provoking questions. I'd say, "Wow, Brother Jimmy, you've really been thinking. You've really been digging. You're going to have to give me some time to pray over that." And he'd just laugh, and we'd talk. Precious brother. But oh, the grace of God. I saw something there. I learned something this year. I've been around saints that have left this world. I've been right with them, holding their hands when they went out. But this was very, very special to see the mighty, amazing grace of God. There really is something to grace. I know we've heard multitude of messages on grace. Folks, it's real. And it comes from God. And it'll make you and I superhuman because it's divine God in us. And it's got nothing to do with us. Thank you, Lord, for the pain. I went back and told some people about that, and they said, that's eerie. That's scary. Thank the Lord for the pain. Every time the pain hit, he thanked the Lord for it. We went down. His funeral was in North Carolina. That's where they originally lived. That's where his family was. We got called from Monarch that he had passed away. We went down there. And when we got there, we still needed grace. I got down there, and there was a lot of people that wasn't real pleased. Brother Jerry Lennon is the pastor down there. And they weren't real pleased. They would ask him if he was going to preach the funeral. He said, "No, this brother here is going to preach it." They weren't happy with that. They weren't very happy at all. And they let us know that. They weren't very happy. One of them said to me, "You better be good, because my uncle deserves a good funeral." And I said, oh, my Lord. What did I get into when I said, Brother Jimmy, I preach your funeral? Do you know, the next day, the day of the funeral, there was probably 70 to 80 people there. I was looking for my wife when I finally got up, looking for a friendly face. But you know, when I started, the Lord anointed that from the get-go. I began to tell them how Brother Jimmy and I had bonded. I began to tell them how I had gone down so many times and been with him, how that I cared for him, how that I prayed with him, and what we had meant to one another. And the Lord just began to anoint and begin to bless. And I want to tell you, folks, after that service was over, it seemed like there was one after another, after another, after another. They just lined up to come.
Yes.
Tell me they really did appreciate it. The funeral, the message that was given, eulogy that was given that day. Folks, that was the grace of God. We can't do anything without it. We can't rely on ourselves. Paul said our sufficiency is not of ourselves. It is God. I'm going to tell you, after we went to that viewing, I went back to the room that night and I said, Lord, I need you. I really need you. We're in a tight place here. And I need you. People just went on and on and on. We went and had the dinner after the funeral, and people just kept coming up to us and just saying how much they appreciated it. His own brother come up to me crying, said, I just can't believe you went all that way down there just to be with my brother. Oh, the Lord knows how to melt hearts. The Lord knows how to break barriers. He's the God of all those things, all those problems that we set up between ourselves. Oh, His grace is sufficient, for His strength is made perfect in weakness. Folks, there's not anyone here weaker than I am. We need the Lord today. We need His grace. I rely on that in everything I do. And everywhere I go, I rely upon the grace of God to have mercy on me. So I trust these few thoughts will be encouragement, be a blessing to us, right down to the day we die. I thought of that scripture, yea, though through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou, O God, Thou art with me. Your grace will be right there. And when Brother Jimmy passed, the grace was right there. He didn't struggle. He didn't struggle long. I guess she said he did struggle a little bit, but not long. Prayer was offered and the Lord came on the scene. Oh, I'm thankful that we can count on the Lord. He's faithful to us all. Amen.